is what I would call a picture-perfect morning with the snow on the trees. Unfortunately, sometimes the beauty of this can cause a little bit of anxiety, too, as we try and drive in it and walk in it or whatever. However, this morning, as I was looking out my window and seeing everything looking a little bit daunting, I remember when I was going through my studies, there was one beautiful verse, and believe it or not, we are in a brand new year, right? 2020. Hard to believe we're there. And in 2 Chronicles 2020 is a beautiful insight as how we can conquer all our anxieties and fears. Listen to it. It says, "Believe in the Lord your God, and you will stand firm." Now, isn't that something we need to hear over and over and over again? Because there's all sorts of things that cause each of us anxiety. And it was interesting because this was said by Jehoshaphat, and it was just after God had told him. Now, this is what God had told Jehoshaphat. He says, "Do not be afraid or discouraged. Go against them tomorrow, for the Lord is with you." And that beautiful promise, "The Lord is with you," is what we're going to look at today so you can be strengthened to go and face whatever you have to face this whole year of 2020. So there we go. Aren't you excited about getting started on this? And you know, these, we're going to take a story, an Old Testament, one of those old stories. They're beautiful old stories. You can read them over and over again. And you know what? Every time you read a story, you're going to gain a new insight into that story about how it can apply to you. Because they're not just stories. They apply to our lives. That is God working in us, giving us examples. And even when, in Paul, in 1 Corinthians 10:11, he was talking to the Israelites, and he said, about the Israelites during the time of Abraham, he says, "These things happened to them," when they were crossing the Red Sea, etc., "as examples for us." That's even Paul saying it in 1 Corinthians. Today, the word "them" is going to be the Israelites again, led by Joshua in a battle of their life. Are you in a battle of life? This battle is called the Battle of Jericho. And it's interesting, as we go through this, I want you to watch carefully. God gives us a promise, but there's action on our behalf to fulfill that promise. And over again, you're going to look for obedience, trust, and faith. That enhances and makes the promise beautiful. Let's just open in a word of prayer. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, thank you so much for bringing us out. It's a beautiful day. We just know that you have things to tell us, and we are all facing so many different obstacles and challenges and problems. It's really sometimes difficult just to be still and to listen to you and be empowered by you. Help your words today just fill these ladies' hearts so that they will truly be blessed and encouraged by what you have to say. And may the words that I have be the words you've placed on my heart. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're going to start with our story with our main character. Love main characters. If you like to read the main characters, if you like the main character, you like the story. However, Joshua is our main character, and he started with very humble beginnings. It's interesting, you know, God doesn't care what our beginnings are, where we started from. He will take us, whatever. Joshua was in the slavery. Remember in Egypt, there were slaves. The Israelites were enslaved by the Egyptians. And they had a horrible time. I can't imagine his childhood being very happy with these slave tasks, these Egyptian slave tasks, making him work and growing up in that kind of a scenario. But Joshua also had a wonderful opportunity because it tells us that he was actually an assistant to Moses. Listen, this is our first glimpse we get of him in Exodus 33:11. "Inside the tent of the meeting of the Lord would speak to Moses face to face as one speaks to a friend." Can you imagine? I mean, not being in there with them, but knowing what was going on. "Afterwards," Moses would return to the camp, but the young man who assisted him, Joshua, son of Nun, would remain behind in the tent of the meeting. You already see how God is working in his life, don't you? He was preparing Joshua. He was showing Joshua that God is truly with him. And being with Moses must have been an amazing experience. Just think of all the things that he did that Moses or Joshua would have seen. Like you have the crossing of the Red Sea, you got the manna, you got the quail, you got water gushing out of rocks. I mean, this is astounding. And over again, Joshua would have been encouraged by Moses' extreme faith that he had and obedience to God. Plus, I am sure, without a doubt, that Joshua would also have known that God doesn't work in ordinary, normal way. You have to always be prepared for that surprise. Isn't that true? He surprises us. He gives us good surprises and sometimes not good surprises. But he's always with us in every single experience that he has. So God is now ready to use Joshua. And Moses has passed away, and so he has said to Joshua, this is God speaking to Joshua, "Moses, my servant, is dead. Therefore, the time has come for you to lead these people, the Israelites, across the Jordan River and into the land I am giving them. No one will be able to stand against you. As long as you live, for I will be with you." I will be with you. That's something we can say over and over again. "As I was with Moses, I will not fail you nor abandon you." Aren't those beautiful, powerful words? Here we have Joshua. He's going to be leading like over, they say over 2 million people. I said, that's a lot of people. And on the news, if you were watching, I know it was a terrible thing that happened, but however, we had those over 2 million people in Iran at the funeral. I don't know if you saw that on the news. It was astounding the amount of people that were there. And I said, that is what Joshua was in charge of. And not only was it over 2 million people, they were also very headstrong, and they were also very rebellious. Here you go, Joshua. This is your job. But God has promised that he will be with them. And you know, we might not be leading millions of people anywhere, but you have to admit, every day we are faced with our challenges and our problems, and we have to be retold over and over again that God's not going to abandon us. He is going to be there to help us through. He will not fail us. So just to give you an idea, if you see Jericho is written in red. All right, so the Israelites right now are on the other side. Oh, you sort of can see it. Other side of the Jordan River. That Jordan River is that wiggly little thing. So they're on the right-hand side, and the Promised Land is just on the other side. This is what they've been waiting for 40 years. The first time they failed at getting across there, but now they're ready to go. Sounds good, doesn't it? But with anything, when you have a goal, when you have a mission, what happens? You have challenges. Something stops you to have to trust and obey. And that's exactly what's happening here, because you've got the river that looks so nice and windy and just like a beautiful little river, but it's harvest time. And in harvest time, that beautiful little river was raging with flooding water. That is not a river to try and cross. And if you did happen to get across that river, on the other side is this fortress of a city called Jericho. And Jericho had two huge, huge walls. Just the first one, the outside one, was 6 feet tall. 6 feet thick and 20 feet high. And the inner one was 12 feet thick. That's pretty thick. And 30 feet high. Plus, there was a guarded walkway about 15 feet in between the two walls. That's a challenge, isn't it, eh? You think you've got challenges. But from human eyes, if you look at that, that's an impossibility. But with God, all things are possible. All things are possible. Now, Joshua knew that he was going to have to attack. He knew he was going to have to try and conquer this, because this is what God wanted him to do. It was heavily fortified. what was he going to do? So he, a leader, almost a quotation marks, military leader, he had to get some information on what was on the other side of that river. And so he took two spies. He sent them across to go and explore the land. And listen to this. He says to the spies, scout out the land on the other side of the Jordan River, especially around Jericho. Yeah, that was the big one. So the spies go off. And I want you to note here, we really have to admire the spies, because this is a very dangerous situation they are going into. They are going into this exploring. They could be easily caught. Caught would probably mean death. So you can see from the start that they have obedience and they have faith and trust in what Joshua is telling them to do, because God is with them as well as with Joshua and all the people. So off they go to the other side of the river. And I have to laugh because God is full of surprises. You know where he sends the spies? And this is God being with the spies. He sends them to Rahab's house. That's a nice name. But she's a harlot. She's a prostitute. So therefore, you kind of have to wonder, well, why would God send the spies to a harlot's home? You know what? God is working in Rahab's life too. And people that come into our lives, God is working. God works amongst us all. Each one of us are being intertwined with the way he's planning our lives. Because you see, Rahab, first of all, her house just happened to be built into the city wall, which would be a great place to escape from if you had to. But God knew the spies were going to have to escape. Plus, God was working in Rahab's life, in her heart. He was changing her heart to follow him. And doing this, he actually ended up, not only was she a major character in the victory of Jericho, but she also became one of the ancestors on Jesus' genealogy. So don't tell me God doesn't have a plan, even when we think we're dealing with somebody who is not reputable. He can do anything and give us victory. So here we have the spies at Rahab's house, anyhow. And the king of Jericho just happens to find out that the spies are there. And so he sends messengers knocking at the door to get the spies back to him. Rahab knew they were coming, and so she skillfully hid them under some stalks of flax up on the rooftop. When she was hiding them there, she went and answered the door, and she said, oh, yes, they were here, but they've gone that way. And she led them on a goose chase somewhere where they were not. And you can see God working again, because you know what? These messengers could be soldiers. They were armed. They weren't very friendly. They believed her. That's God working right there. They believed her, and off they went to go find them all in the wrong direction. And as they went out the door, though, we got another problem coming up. They closed the doors to the city. So the spies are safe. That's okay. But they can't get out because the door's closed. Now what's going to happen? Rahab goes up and starts to speak to the spies. You can see them working. You can see God with the spies. You can see God with Rahab. And she says to them, I will help you escape down the window. Remember, her house is on the wall. Down the window, if you will save my family when you come and attack Jericho. She knew they were going to attack. They were all afraid of these Israelites, and this was her plan. So they made a deal. Her family was going to be saved, and that's how God worked in Rahab's life, that she became an ancestor. A whole other story to Jesus. She let the spies down the wall, and away she went, leaving a red ribbon, which would know where she lives. The spies got away, and they went up into the high country just to have a couple days to get rid of all the soldiers who were looking for them. But it gave them a chance to explore, and then they went back to Joshua and told him everything he found. Joshua must not have had no fear. There must have been anxiety in him as he knew what he had to face in this battle. But he chose, and this is an important word, he chose to follow God no matter how difficult the situation seemed to be. Sometimes it's easier to choose the easy route and to say, stay safe. But God can't work with us that way, can he? So Joshua goes off, and God gives him a beautiful promise in Joshua 1, verse 3. Every place that the sole of your foot will tread upon, I have given to you as I promised Moses. Do you see that victory before the battle even starts? God says, I've given this to you. It's yours. Joshua knows, but now he needs the faith to believe that, the trust and the obedience to make it happen. He can't just stand there and do nothing. And you know, for us, every single battle that you may be in, whether it be big or small, you have victory before you even start that battle. You know why? Because Jesus Christ died for you on the cross. And he was resurrected. He is our victory. And that's where we need to put our faith and trust. And you will be amazed at how God works through you. So here we have the plan starting to unfold. We have the raging river in front of us. Now, the fighting men, three of the tribes, there's 12 tribes that are going to be marching around Jericho. But we have around 40,000 more, much more. I could never really find the exact total, but that would be impossible anyhow. But it just gives you an idea there was a lot of people crossing that raging river. And you're just not going to get them all swimming because that's just not going to work. So God talks to Joshua and encourages him. He says, today I will begin to make you a great leader in the eyes of all the Israelites. They will know that I am with you just as I was with Moses. Give this command to the priests who carry the Ark of the Covenant. I just want to take 1 minute and talk. Just the Ark of Covenant is a very precious part of the Israelites. It's actually the representation of who God is, his presence, and his power. And this is what is going to go with Joshua and the fighting men. So when you really look at this, you can take this to take your battles. Who do you have to bring with you? Who has got to be with you in your battles? It's God, Jesus, exactly. And this is a beautiful lesson because we always, I don't know, sometimes it's very easy to go headstrong right into something without even thinking about maybe referring to God, maybe asking him his direction, and it makes all the difference. So off they go, and then he continues, when you reach the bank, this is still God talking, giving instructions, when you reach the banks of the Jordan River, take a few steps into the river and stop there. You see, the priests are holding the Ark of the Covenant. The priests have to take a step into the river, the raging river, the river that if you looked at it, you'd say, oh my goodness, that could possibly carry me away because the current was very strong. This could be my last day, and you need to take that step. But you know what? They did. I kind of wonder sometimes, what would happen if they hadn't have? You know, you stop what God can do by refusing to step forward when you see some danger or some anxiety. But listen to what happened, because they did obey and they did have faith. As soon as they put their feet, the feet of the priests who were carrying the ark, touched the water, above that point began backing up a great distance away. So you get the picture? They say it's probably around 20 miles up the river. The river starts flowing and makes a great big wall. That's a long ways away. You can't see 20 miles. They don't know what's going on, but that's what's happening. And the water below that point flowed into the Dead Sea until the riverbed was dry. Isn't that amazing? So it didn't happen like all at once. It never does it? We have to be patient. But it took time, but eventually that riverbed was dry. Then all the people crossed over near the town of Jericho. Amazing what God can do. He always provides, and he's always there, but we need him to be with us. The result was the Israelites all safely crossed, and they are now in the promised land. How exciting that must have been, because 40 years ago, they just didn't do this because of their rebellion, and now they are all there. And don't think it didn't go unnoticed, because you see, Joshua 5:1 says, when all the Amorite kings west of the Jordan and all the Canaanite kings, these were the people that lived there, who lived along the Mediterranean coast, heard how the Lord had dried up the the Jordan River so the people of Israel could cross, they lost heart and were paralyzed with fear because of them. You see what happens when you let God work in your lives? You live it out. Others witness what you are living out, and then they are changed. Now, if God can take these mighty warriors, and they were, these were fighting kings and men and soldiers, and crumble them in fear, just think what he can do with our obedience if we step into that rushing water and go forward. Amazing, just amazing. So, you know what it's like. Life is like that. You get one challenge over and done with. What happens the next day? You get another one. Of course, it never stops. And here we have Joshua, and he knew it was coming, but now he's got this bigger challenge of Jericho. And the Canaanites, actually, they built Jericho as a fortress, a gateway fortress, they called it, to the land. So you couldn't go around it. There was no way you could go around it. You had to conquer it. And this was the first major city the Israelites had to conquer to get into the promised land. God knew that, and Joshua knew that, but I don't think he maybe was feeling overly confident, because here you have Joshua, God saying again to Joshua, I have given you Jericho. See, again, he encourages him. I've given you this city, its king, and all its strong warriors. Again. Victory before the battle even started. So God's plan is strange, though. Military warfare in the time in Israel, they used spears, they used bows, they used arrows, they used swords and clubs. I mean, these were big, manly things that they used. This was a war, and sometimes they would even take a city like this who had the walls around it, and they would starve the people to death. So the people would eventually come out and they'd conquer the city. Which was probably a good idea for this one because of the big walls. There was some kind of a warfare like that that they probably had planned, but this is God's surprising instructions. He says to Joshua, you and your fighting men should march around the town once a day for 6 days. Seven priests will walk ahead of the ark. The ark is going with them, each carrying a ram's horn. On the seventh day, you are to march around the town seven times with the priest blowing the horns. When you hear the priest give one long blast on the ram's horn, have all the people shout as loud as they can. Then the walls of the town will collapse, and the people can charge straight into town. That's quite the instructions, isn't it? From a war fighting spears and arrows. And this is, you're going to walk around with all your fighting soldiers? Obedience, trust, and faith. This is Joshua. He's just filled with it. These are the orders that he got. But there's another one, too. He also had the people convinced to do that. And God also told them, this is Joshua 6:10, do not shout. Do not even talk. Joshua commanded, not a single word from any of you until I tell you to shout. Then shout. Silence. That means walking around in silence. That's kind of like a reverence. Here you have the ark with them, the fighting soldiers, the priests carrying the ark, and this reverence that comes if everyone's very silent. It's a seriousness about what they're doing. They might not have their swords or whatever, but they have the presence of God and the reverence of God, and that is what they're doing walking around. I have no idea what the soldiers that are in the fort are thinking of them right now, because this was a fighting group, and they saw these fighters, these warriors, walking around in silence and reverence. I couldn't help but think of Psalm 46:10, which says, be still. And know I am God. How important is that as we rush around and make decisions, probably not the right ones sometimes, but we need to be still, be quiet, and know what God wants us to do. Then, when you have that, there's an incredible joy and peace that takes over. No explanation sometimes for it. It's just there, and then you go out and you deal with whatever problem you've got. the Israelites certainly on the seventh day they had their victory, but just thinking as they marched around, how big those walls must have started looking every day. They probably got bigger and bigger. And think of how vulnerable they would probably have been. These soldiers from inside the city, the warriors, they probably were up on top of the walls. Why didn't they shoot the Israelites with their arrows and knock things down on them? Why there was nothing like that? We know why, because God was with the Israelites, and that was not going to happen to the Israelites, because he had a plan, and it was victory. Here we go. On the seventh day, the Israelites got up at dawn. They marched around the town as they had done before, but this time they went around the town seven times. The seventh time around, as the priests sounded the long blast on their horns, Joshua commanded the people, "Shout, for the Lord has given you the town." And then just skipping down to verse 20, when the people heard the sound of the ram's horns, they shouted as loud as they could, and suddenly the walls of Jericho collapsed, and the Israelites charged straight into the town and captured it. That must have been a surprise. I mean, I don't know about you. I mean, I know they thought they knew the walls were going to come down, but these were huge walls, two big walls all the way around the city, and they all collapsed at the same time. I mean, that is earth-shaking. But maybe the soldiers on the inside of the city were totally surprised, falling off the wall, probably. I had this vision of them going. But in go the Israelites, and the city was conquered by them, and because that was God's plan. You can see if they had said no, or if they had faltered, or if they had fear, and they didn't have that faith and obedience, God would not have let them conquer the city. Can you see that in your life too? You see, we see the power of God, and it's tremendous. It's amazing. And we know, we read these stories. I love these old stories. And we know we get victory when we follow what God does and have faith in him. We see it firsthand in people's lives and in our lives. But why don't we take those spiritual and emotional walls that we put up ourselves? They're all self-made, aren't they? But we put them there. We know that, definitely have got this, we know that God can take care of any wall possible because he already took care of this. And we've seen it in the Battle of Jericho. Why don't we let him take care of our walls? There's so many of them that we have, and there's that lack of self-confidence. Sometimes there's that anger and frustration we have in us for some reason, whatever it may be. And there's that unforgiveness, oh, that just really, really strikes us and can really cripple us from relationships. And this is the problem, because you see, when we build our walls like this, we make them and we don't give them to God to take them. He can't crumble them. And if he can't crumble them, then he can't use us the way he wants to use us. We have to get through those walls, and it is a battle. And it's wall after wall after wall. I know just even that faith that one needs is, it's difficult, it's hard. I battle with anxiety disorder, and so my walls can be often to somebody else, the stupidest wall ever. But it's real to me, and it's there, and I have to get it down. It's a battle. It's in a battle every day. And yet, just hearing and reading these stories, we know that God can do it. It says, Martin Luther once said, "Faith sees the invisible." That's hard to know, have faith and not see. "Believes the incredible and receives the impossible." And that is what God does in our lives. It's not just the walls of Jericho. Pardon? Yes, it says faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and receives the impossible. Isn't it wonderful that we do have Jesus in our life, though? I can't imagine all those soldiers and people that were walking around Jericho, they knew Joshua had this relationship with God that was very, very strong. But they didn't know, well, Jesus was not there. So they didn't have that relationship with Jesus. And we do, each and every one of us, as we walk around our walls, through our walls, letting them crumble because we give them over to God, because we have victory in Jesus. 1 Corinthians 15:57 says, "But thank God..." And this is what we can do. Thank God. He gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. We do not have to not have victory. You know, and although it's very hard, I just want to end here with four things that I sort of see Joshua telling us, or God telling us through Joshua. First of all, when you're dealing with something, focus on God's power. That's where we focus. Don't focus on your problem. Because if you focus on your problem, you know those big, fat, thick walls that they were walking around? They got thicker every day. Your problem's going to get bigger and bigger every day to you in your mind. So trust God that he will deal with it. He is the creator of this universe. I'm not sure where we get our fear from, but it sure is there. Then second of all is we have to trust in God's plan. Sometimes he has a plan for us that we don't like. But sometimes we have to get through that plan because he's using that plan to strengthen us. It can be not a good plan. I mean, to us, not a good. It could be health issues. It could be relationships. You can go on and on and on. But we need to follow God's plan all the time, seeking his help to get through it and drawing closer to him. Then third is see God in all situations. Everything. He's always with us, isn't he? I sometimes, you know, if you're having a bad day or whatever, and all of a sudden that sun kind of pokes out between the clouds. Have you ever had that happen? Just that little ray of sunshine? And that's God's creation talking to you and telling you, it's okay, I'm here. I am with you. But you got to sometimes look at those little things. Even a friend calling, anything can be very small, but wow, what an encouragement. And then, I like this one. Putting one foot in front of the other, no matter what. That's what they did as they marched around Jericho, foot after foot after foot. And no matter what the anxieties are, what your fears are, you have to keep going forward. Don't give up. Then when you follow God's instructions every step of the way, trust him, obey him, and I like this, get ready for a season of joy. Because when we trust and have faith, he gives us that joy. He gives us that peace. And we can live our life. Oh yes, the problems are still there, that we know. But we can live that life with joy. So when you're feeling a bit overwhelmed, you know, we can hear these stories over and over again. And I can make you sing those old stories over again. Because if you noticed that promise is there, God is with you, but what was it? The action we have to do, trust and obey. Don't stay on the other side of the Jordan River. You get yourself across that river. And so we're going to do the song that we've done before. We're going to do it again because it says trust and obey. And then you will be happy in Jesus. Then you'll have that joy. Then you'll have that peace. And that's what we want when we go out of here into our brand new year of 2020. That's the super... Yeah, so there we go. Okay, so we'll trust and obey. When we walk with the Lord in the light of his word, what a glory he sheds on our way. Wow.